Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
Hey, bonus! Woot woot! Can I get a bonus? Major Spoilers theme song!
Major Spoilers theme song!
Since you haven't been in any of our D&D discussions.
Yeah, I'm never invited to play with the not at all cool kids.
All right, well, then you're going to be quite happy there, Matthew, because, Rodrigo, it's been a while since we've talked about the Dungeons and the Dragons.
There are dungeons and also dragons.
Sometimes both at the same time, if you're not careful.
Indeed.
So, Rodrigo, what's this I hear about a new player handbook?
Right. The Player's Handbook 2 for D&D 4th Edition has just very recently come out. Or came out a long time ago, depending on when you're listening.
Hello, or when I release
it.
People.
Say it. Go ahead, say it.
Hello, future people.
Yeah.
Great.
You know you wanted
no,
to.
No, so wait. So this is I the did. Second player's handbook?
Yes.
So there was already a one-player handbook.
Right.
And this is the second player's handbook.
Right.
Why do we need two player's handbooks? New rules already?
No, you don't need two player's handbooks. You want two player's
okay,
handbooks.
Okay, why do we want two player's handbooks? More spells, more crafts, more armors and all that stuff?
No. Actually, a lot of stuff that is none of that. More spells, yes. What the player's handbook has in the original one is, you know, all the races and all the classes you can play.
Right.
The player's handbook 2 is just more races and more classes.
Oh.
So it's a lot more options for the players.
So more dragons and...
No, that's monsters.
Well, Did he just say that the player's handbook 2 is more racist?
Yes. It's more racist and more classist. So it's very bourgeois.
No, so wait, I thought there were only like... Dwarf,
Dwarf,
elf, human,
orc,
right?
Orc.
What other orc? What about the dragonkin, the half-breed dragons?
The dragonborn.
Yes.
Yeah, those two.
So they're in this player's handbook?
They're in the first player's handbook.
So what's in the second player's handbook?
Gnomes.
Gnomes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shifters. Essentially.
French guys.
Yeah. I was going to say, aren't they people that go from place to place trying to build out of your money?
That's drifters.
Oh, okay.
Or grifters, depending.
Yeah, I believe drifters. Shifters are the people who can't decide whether they date boys or girls.
Oh, okay.
Right. They're basically half lycanthropes. Or lycanthrope.
So werewolves.
Essentially. Yeah.
Okay. Shape shifters. Okay.
Right.
Who else?
Deva, devas, who are essentially the new analog to tieflings.
What the hell's a tiefling?
A tiefling's people with demonic heritage.
Stick your balls in somebody else's mouth.
Wow. Now, where did that come from?
Teabagging, that's what I'm thinking. Not that I would know.
Or so he's heard.
No, so what's a tiefling?
A tiefling is basically a person with demonic heritage.
Okay.
It's, you know, at some point, somebody demon came out of the underworld and got it on with your grandma. And, you know, everybody since has, you know, had horns.
Okay, and so what is in the player 2, what is the character?
Devas.
And what are they?
The celestial equivalent.
Oh, so, okay, so at some point in
the angels
came down.
Yeah, some kind of angel
did
that, yep.
All right, okay. That makes for good counter, that'd be a good adventure with the tieflings and the devas on the same team together.
Yep.
I think I read an online comic about that once.
Yeah.
All right, is that it?
Let's see. I'm getting a phone call.
Oh. Way to go, Rodrigo. Real professional.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Just like me saying teabagger.
Do
you have to answer that?
No.
Okay.
It was either a credit or his mom.
Yep.
Mom, I told you not to call during the show.
Yep. Let's see. Gnomes, shifters, devas, half-orcs, gnomes. I already said gnomes.
Iowans.
No.
I was going to say quarter Iowans.
Exactly. I'm actually half Iowan on my mother's side.
And?
Kryptonians.
Yes. Daxamites. I think that's it. I feel like I'm missing one somewhere.
So it's just new players that you can play.
New races, their abilities, new classes.
And all of that. So
yep.
Some new spells that may go with some of those races, like the Davis probably have some built-in spells automatically since they're magical.
Every class has a built-in power they can use, like Devas, basically, because they remember all their past lives, can essentially add a bonus to things they do because they're remembering, you know, tactics from an earlier age.
No, that's kind of cool. But they can't say, hey, remember when I was the grand arrow shooter guy?
Right.
I now have that ability and I kill you dead.
Right. It doesn't give you that big of a bonus and it doesn't always apply. But yes.
Okay. All right.
I believe they're called archers.
Bowers.
No, a bowyer is a guy who makes a bow.
Oh, okay.
Like Captain Quantum of the Starship Enterprise.
Yes. Different archer, I think.
Same guy. The Blue Bowman.
Because, you know,
it's the Blue Bowman.
The last time I played Dungeons & Dragons, I was like 11.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 plus years ago.
Well, we won't hold that.
Way back in the dawn of time.
Number one. And number two, it was me and this one other guy sitting down going, okay, now what do we do? Well, I don't know. What do we do now? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Let's go play football.
Nice.
Let's go play Atari.
There is another race that I forgot.
Pitfall Harry.
Yeah, he's awesome. Called Goliath.
You know what's terrible about my first Dungeons and Dragons experience?
What's that?
My friend Ted was our DM, and it was the best game ever. It was awesome. It was incredible.
But you weren't actually playing
then,
it.
Later, I saw...
Oh, boy.
Reruns, and I realized that Ted stole it. The entire first season of Dungeons & Dragons was the first Dungeons & Dragons game that I played.
All right, so you got
nice.
Through a magical roller coaster into a magical land.
So exactly.
What's a Goliath then? A giant? A half-giant?
A Goliath.
Something close to a half-giant. They're basically big.
Are they? I bet you the big, intelligence rock level guys. Was not very high.
If they're half giant, aren't they just normal sized?
Well, that's always been an issue as far as I'm concerned. There was a setting called Dark Sun that really popularized half giants. And it's like, yeah, I mean, they're just really tall people, kind of broad. But no,
so, but
Goliaths are something else.
And go, I will love him and pet him and I will call him George.
Pretty much. There are no ability penalties in Dungeons & Dragons, so just because you're big doesn't necessarily
big,
mean you're dumb.
Okay. Oh, well, it should be. I think they should have intelligence abilities.
Well, we'll penalize your intelligence, Steven, when you play.
So,
God did that. We'll just make it part of the game.
I guess the game doesn't really need to do that.
If you have been listening to the previous two episodes, or the previous episode where we were talking about magic and how Rodrigo kicks my ass at magic, it boils down to that, too. So,
I got a 5-year-old who wants to play Magic against me.
She could probably kick my butt there, too.
Mm. There you go.
Have you played with these new players yet? Have you created a character?
I have.
Tell us all about your character.
Let's see. I made a...
have you given it a name?
Well, we played essentially a one-shot, and I played a Genesee or Genasi. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. It's from another supplement. But
Genosian.
Yes. From it's basically an elemental person, and then there's a class called the Warden, which is basically locks people up. They're essentially people who channel the power of the wild and like the spirits of the earth, kind of thing, to transform into other things. So basically, I made a guy who was a giant tree and basically walked around as a
As an ant.
A good chunk of the game,
just
which was fun.
Boulders at Gandalf.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Hit people.
So then
carried hobbits on my.
So
branches.
You've got an ant that you created out of this players too.
Yeah, it took a little doing, but yeah, pretty much.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what adventure did you go on?
Well, we spent a lot of time making characters because we weren't really familiar with the rules. So basically, once we were done making characters, the game master just dropped us on a map Oh, okay. That just was packed with enemies.
We were in a long hallway. There are torches on either side.
Exactly. We were in a 10 by 10 room with a orc in the center guarding a treasure chest.
So this room is completely dark. You're likely to be eaten by a group.
What was your character that you left behind that one time, Matthew? And then came back as another group and he was still wandering around?
The legend of Beevil X.
Yeah, yeah. Beevil X is standing there. I'm Beevil lost. X. Help me get out of here.
Beevil X lost his whole party and abandoned the game. And then, of course, we came back some months later and encountered in the bottom of the dungeon Beevil X guarding the bodies of his dead comrades.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was.
So,
but you have to understand, Beevil X is a legend unto himself.
We have something like that, not quite as legendary.
It's called Beevil Y.
There's this there's this guy.
Beevil XY. He actually has no belly button.
And we'll call him John Welling. There's this guy who loves to play D&D, never has the time.
Oh, yeah. This is the guy you pull out of the sack whenever you want him.
Yeah. Basically, for one game, he made this Minotaur.
Yeah.
This Minotaur Paladin. And the game, he played one game and then was never able to show up to the game again. Next time somebody rolled up a game, he's like, oh, well, can I just play that same character? And people were like, fine. And then when I started running, he's like, oh, can I join? I'm like, sure. And he's like, well, I have this character that I've never actually gotten to play for more than two sessions. I'm like, yeah, go ahead, do it. And then, of course, he stopped showing up. So then there's this running gag in most of our games that there's this, like, time-traveling, dimension-hopping Minotaur that just shows up every once in a while called Thren.
Uh-huh.
So it's just, you know, it's become a thing in games where, like, you get someplace and there's, like, hoof prints, you know, saying essentially Thren was here.
That's pretty
good. And, you know, the players will, like, hop to another dimension or do something like that, and people will be like, man, things just keep popping out of this wormhole. And it's like, what? It's like, well, a giant cow came through here a while back.
Every time you start a new campaign, do you create all new characters, or do you have a character that you've been playing for, like, 5 years?
No, every time we make a campaign, we make new characters.
Really? Doesn't that suck? Yeah. Don't you want to continue the adventures of...
It's a little Twinkie to keep, you know, rebuilding the same character.
No, but do you need to rebuild, or can you just take this character and say, look, he's now a level 32?
Let me ask you something, Steven. What do you mean by campaign?
Well, I mean, you know, when you start a new adventure. Once you're finished with your quest, once you're finished,
then you can start a second quest.
Right.
I mean, if the game is still going, then we keep the same characters.
But when the game ends,
why
can't you just have the continuing adventures of Bob the Barbarian?
And Beevil X.
Right. Because...
it's no fun that way, or...
Well, let's say that you played Bob the Barbarian for 15 levels. You know, he's a badass.
Right.
And then somebody's like, oh, I want to run a new D&D game. And you're like, I got an awesome barbarian. And he's like, okay. Well, as long as he's level 3, that's cool.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the level of the adventure.
But see, that allows me to go in and start slashing, slacking and hacking. And
but no game master's going to let you bring in a level 15 character to a level 1
campaign.
Then
they need to build a campaign that allows you to bring in your epic characters.
True. And some people do that.
Yeah,
but
but then there's also something to be said for making people do something new.
Well, that's true too.
And Steven, you haven't played for a while. Let me give you just a little bit of advice.
All right,
don't go in and tell the game master what game he should be running.
No,
because he's just gonna kick you out.
No. But it's like, hey, my Bob the Builder guy, Bob the Barbarian.
Bob the Builder now.
Bob the Builder.
Oh, he is epic.
We can do it.
He can do anything.
His
power source is a positive attitude.
And
claymation.
Wait a minute. I got Bob the Barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on these mini epic quests, and he would like to join your party of lesser beings to help you along in your adventures. The DM's
going
to go, no.
It would suck, because my level 1 character wouldn't get to do anything. Bob the Barbarian would kick down the door, kill the beholder, steal the treasure, get the girl, teleport away, because by now he has the magic items for it. And
In World of Warcraft,
you
can go and you can have a high-level player come help you clear an area. So essentially what happens is, if it's a good person who's a high level, he'll stand back, he'll let you take first attack and work and try to kill this person on your own. He will maybe fend off some other you know, groups that are trying to attack, if that, or if you get into really big trouble, he'll come in at the end and kill. But the way World of Warcraft works is if you get first strike, you get the points for the kill, mm-hmm. even if you're not the one that strikes the killing blow.
Right.
The XP for that.
Well, let me ask
so
you.
So why couldn't you do that? It's like, hey, oh, I will.
You can absolutely do that because you can do whatever you want.
Sure.
But, I mean, in, say, I don't know.
Of course, I could just be bored. Bob is bored.
Yeah. The problem with that is that it's not very dramatic, you know? It's like, in a video game, that's cool because everybody's playing against the video game.
Right.
In Dungeons & Dragons, you're trying to put together an experience that's a little bit more like a movie and a little bit less like a game, to a certain degree.
There's a difference?
Especially a game filled with asshats.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it would be like in Lord of the Rings if, you know, Aragorn and all those guys were sitting there, you know, fighting at Helm's Deep, and there was, you know, somebody that's more powerful than Gandalf sitting there, like, checking his fingernails for dirt.
That's true.
And it's like, oh, they're in trouble, zap.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
Then win.
Yeah.
You know, if the good guys could have won all along, there's no tension there.
Yeah, that's true. But you are the good guys.
Yes.
So you're going to win anyway. You know, my wife.
Are you?
My wife used to play.
Remember,
yeah, that's
Matthew's
true.
Entire party was wiped out.
Well, that's because Matthew is evil.
Yeah.
You know, my wife used to play the Dungeons & Dragons. Maybe we should do a couple of shows where we're all Matthew, Stacy, you and me are all doing a Dungeons & Dragons thing.
Doing a dungeon crawl?
Yes. Would that be of interest to anyone?
You'll have to talk Stacy out of putting the big L on her forehead that she's been doing for the last 10.
Does she not play D&D?
Oh, she does, but she plays it old school. See, Stacy was spoiled by Tom Boaz.
Oh. Aren't all the ladies spoiled by Tom Boaz?
I don't know about you, but... Stacy was spoiled in that her first gaming experiences that were, you know, or I won't say her first, but her meaningful gaming experiences since we've been married have been all about the role play.
Yes.
They've been all about, I am Stacy and I inhabit this character and woody-doo, look at me.
Oh, I am the naughty construction worker and I need to be disciplined.
And now I drive, I drive a Winnebago because that's what I do. Tom didn't bother with little things like, you know, dice rolls or chance. Tom was telling a story, and you were going to go where Tom goes. And he made sure you had hooks. Don't get me wrong. It was always interesting, and you had hooks to get where you needed to go. But there were times when if you didn't want to go where the hooks were going, them hooks would get mighty sharp. So, yeah, I don't know if that would be a problem or not. We should see if Molly wants to play.
Really? All right,
she will play Princess Monkey Pants.
Listeners, you tell us. Do you want to hear us do
giant,
a campaign? A quick dungeon crawl? How long is a quick dungeon crawl?
Couple weeks. Assuming I just create characters for you guys.
Oh, if we don't, you create characters.
Assuming we don't have to go through character creation.
Well, but that might be good for someone like me who is...
But it makes terrible radio.
Well, but maybe we do that off, you know,
sure.
off mic.
Well, I have a character we could use. He's a 35th level paladin assassin with mage abilities and fire breath.
Hey, as long as you let me get all the kills and get my XP up quickly, then let's go for it. No.
Thanks, Drizzt.
Well, allow me to put this in a metaphor that means something to Rodrigo and I and nothing to Steven.
All right. I will make a crack anyway.
Recently, I have been, you know, finding myself with time to do things around the house. And one of the things that I have done is I've busted out my PlayStation 2 my copy of WrestleMania 2006.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I have 2007, but I don't like the interface. Anyway, all of the create a character slots in WrestleMania 2006 are filled.
Mm-hmm.
And they are filled with characters who are based on characters that I put in WrestleMania 2005, and before that, WrestleMania 2000, and before that, SmackDown, whatever. So these characters have been around for like 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, whatever. Shut up. Anyway, so for 8 or 9 years, I've been recycling these characters in various creator wrestler games and updating them and changing things, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the other week, I busted out one of my favorite characters of all time, Blue Steel. And Blue Steel was going up against another character, Sid Colt, for the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, in my head, this should have been an easy fight. Blue Steel should have had this knocked down because he's got the power of his finishing move, the Blue Crush, where he throws himself at you. He's also got a finisher I like to refer to as Boot to the Head.
Nice.
Where he boots you in the head. So I set her up for the Boot to the Head, and she blocked it. And she hit me in the nards, and she knocked me over the head with a steel chair, and I lost the match.
This would be the wife that did this?
No. No, the computer.
Oh, okay.
But the problem with that is if I – let's say we put this in the D&D metaphor. If I had brought in my character, Sir Awesome McHarfenfarf.
Right, who fought death at the gates of hell and defeated it.
Well, let's say I brought in Beevil X.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And Beevil X is awesome, and Beevil X gets punked out by Sid Colt, for lack of a better word. That, to me, would not be as enjoyable as an experience. So – if the computer, read the Dungeon Master, isn't sold on the awesomeness of your PC character that you're bringing into his game, call that Blue Steel, yes, then that Dungeon Master, that game controller, whatever you call him, is going to run his game based on his perception of your character.
Ah.
So it may be better to collaborate with that Dungeon Master and create a new character that we'll call Spongo.
Yes.
Spongo is a good name. Instead of bringing in Blue Steel and having Blue Steel become a wedge of contention between your vision and the Game Master's vision.
But what if I wonder then, would the Game Master say, okay, Matthew's got a level 35 Beevil X character, and then he's with all these level 3 characters. How about the hordes, most of the hordes that they encounter have a big boss, you know, a level 36 boss, and 20 level 4 underlings.
Well, let's bring it back. How does that usually work in video games? There's one level 36 boss and a bunch of level 1 underlings, which actually I don't think ever happens in, but assuming it did. Right. What happens when the boss uses his AoE?
I don't know what an AoE is.
Area of effect.
Usually
attack.
You stand away.
Let's say he
throws a cone of cold
away.
That exactly. will kill anybody under level 10.
Yeah,
see,
that's true.
That's the problem. True. It's especially
that leaves
at that big of a
standing over his dead comrades again.
Exactly. The important thing about Dungeons and Dragons and role playing games like this in general is that they're cooperative experiences.
Right.
So you want everybody to be as close together so that they can fill their niche, do their thing. Everybody works together, and you are awesome together. You are an awesome team of guys, not an awesome guy and his action scientists.
Right.
So, which, you know, in and of itself could be a cool concept, assuming everybody agrees that somebody's the main character, for
example.
So
could you create us a campaign or a quest that could be done in like two and a half hours?
I think.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
So then, listeners, again, the question is, would you want to hear us do a campaign live? Providing that the Dungeon Master can weave a compelling story.
Mm.
And
lo,
keeps his,
you have walked into a roller coaster.
And Steven keeps his mouth shut most of the time.
Well, as long as Steven stops interrupting.
Now, when you say the man has the horns of steel, what exactly? Can you describe that in greater detail, Dungeon Master?
Are they steel horns or are they horny steels?
I'm fine describing that kind of thing.
And is he wearing a cape? It's important if he's wearing a cape.
Yes, Steven, he's wearing a cape.
Awesome.
Yes.
His cape is tattered at the edges, letting you know that he has traveled recently.
Ah, well, then I throw his cape into the big windmill, and he gets sucked up. The end.
Yes, Steven wins. Hurrah.
Yeah, don't do that.
This is going to be a quick campaign.
Yeah.
Steven is going to either...
So, Rodrigo, when we do this, are we going to let him talk at all?
Well, the character I'm going to make him is going to be a mute.
I'm going to roll my own character.
So he's not going to be allowed to talk in character, and I'm going to impose a strict no talking out of character rule.
That's going
to
really
suck. So
then
Steven will actually not be able to talk at all.
That would be
really
suck
if I was
a magician that has to cast spells and I'm a mute.
Yep.
I don't know. You could go all somatic. It's possible.
Yep.
All right. So listeners, you let us know if you want to hear that, and we will maybe create something special just for you.
I want to be a level 35 paladin assassin. Oh, never mind.
So bottom line here, Rodrigo, this new player's guide.
The new player's handbook.
Good addition to
the game? It's great. It opens your options so much. Basically, I always kind of want to stretch things out as far as the presentation of them.
Right.
I like to take the stats of things and change the flavor of them so that I can essentially play something else. This book goes a long way to preventing me from doing that in a good way. Like, I don't have to make some, like, turn a cleric into a shaman because they've printed a shaman.
Hmm, okay.
You know, I don't have to, like, make a kind of a blood and thunder, like, priest kind of guy instead of, like, a Healy priest because they've done that. Here's right. an option to do that.
And you have to remember two words when it comes to any Dungeons & Dragons game. And they're curse words to some, but they're important if you're running the game, and that's party balance.
Mm-hmm.
If you're creating a party, and your party, for all intents and purposes, to put this in the comic metaphor, consists of Thor, Ghost Rider, and Daredevil.
Yeah.
You have to have something that matters for Daredevil to be there. Daredevil can be your rogue.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Rider can be probably your cleric. He'd be an evil cleric. And Thor can be awesome, you know, your flat-out paladin, whatever.
But right.
Those three characters being that different and having those different abilities and different raison d'être, which I believe is French for raisin bran, reasons to exist, if you will, to have those three characters together, you're going to have something that, let's say you're having the big fighty-fighty.
Yes.
You don't want your Daredevil to be left out of the big fighty-fighty. But you also don't want your Daredevil to get killed if your big fighty-fighty is designed just for Thor.
That's true.
And you don't want Thor to be at a point where Thor can't get through a door in a particular dungeon because it's a whole setup that you put together for Daredevil to where Thor gets to sit and, you know, sit in the air-conditioned Jeep and eat Doritos while Jim wrestles the Orinoco crocodile, for lack of a better term.
Right.
You know, it just... That, by the way, I have no idea what that means. I think it's a reference. I think it's a reference to Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Oh, I thought you were making a reference to Enya, but
nah, I don't even know what that is. I've actually gotten to the point where my references confuse myself, ladies
Amazing.
And gentlemen.
Amazing.
All right, so you know, this episode,
I have transcended meaning and entered the point where I am now entirely a Bret Easton Ellis novel. I'm just. A collection of non sequiturs and references to something.
Man, you're almost becoming me.
I'm like an Eddie Izzard routine given life.
So this episode was recorded March
24th, 2009.
So
hello, past people.
So, well, actually, yeah. So depending
Let's say
on.
It was actually sent back in time.
Actually, I think this is a capsule from the past because it'll be played in the future at some point.
Also, good to know that by the time we hear this, we'll actually be on a new version of Dungeons & Dragons.
That could be true, too. But hopefully this will give time for Rodrigo to develop some kind of campaign that we can get done in about two and a half hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I will let you create characters for the wife and I.
Okay.
If she wants
to. We should totally record it as a podcast.
No, that's what I'm saying. We'll record it as a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And
the podcast will be The Adventure of Aquaman Under the Sea. No, wait.
Well, we'll have to discuss some logistics, but yes.
Why logistics?
Because
can't you roll for Matthew in that way?
Sure,
we
sure,
all
sure.
Know?
I can make characters. The issue is that for about the past couple editions, it's very hard to play Dungeons and Dragons without a grid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I have it. Without, I have a grid. I have miniatures. I have all that stuff.
Oh, so you have to have all that other stuff. You just can't
pretty much
draw your little map on the.
Oh,
on
sure.
The grid
you can
paper
draw your little map and then move your characters around. But if you have a fancy grid like I do, then you can play with a grid.
Well, you know that's why we have web cameras.
That's what I was going to say. We would web probably camera. Need to set up a camera. Which honestly, I think this could be a lot of fun or incredibly funny. And either way, the listener wins.
So would the listener have to see the video too? Or
I
not?
Think I think it would be preferable if they could.
Okay. That may make the file a little bit too large for 2.5 hours.
Hmm.
Whereas if you're just telling a tale and we're talking about it.
Well, that's why we need to discuss the logistics
that's
of
that's
it.
That's why the listeners need to give us their feedback. Yay or nay, listeners. We will find out very soon. All right.
And if you vote yay, we'll do it. And if you vote nay, well, you'll
then
just
then we probably just won't record it.
Then that's the episode you probably want to skip. All right, that is it for this time, and we'll see you next time on another Major Spoilers bonus episode.
Major Spoilers theme song.
Major Spoilers theme song.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.